Blog Talk Radio.
God bless America.
Good evening and good evening and good evening to all of you folks across America. And those of you in the other parts of the world who are just getting up, good day and good afternoon to you. But today's show will probably hit you in an area that you hadn't thought about today or think that nobody cares. But this is a shrinking world, and the last thing we need is one more war. As mentioned, on the 28th of this month, which is this Saturday, get your clocks right, there's going to be a salute to the veterans and their families. It's a local event. It's, you know, really important in how the people pour themselves into for this celebration and honorarium to many of the folks who are here and obviously to those who are not. The reason why I'm bringing it up because I've been called by a much higher power than one could imagine, our Lord and Savior, to not just make this a small community connection, because when the war is hit, it connects everybody across this country and obviously in different parts of the world. So we have our friends over way on the other side in the Atlantic coast who are chiming in today. A few folks, looks like Chicago has just jumped on board, Texas, and we're here in what's left of sunny California because it's the night is creeping on us. But let me get to the point. That's going to be a big event, and our times have kind of juggled a little bit, so fasten your seatbelt. But our host will still be there. Yeah, Dr. Clark will be there, and she's going to deliver a message that helps us understand more than we ever have needed to understand issues surrounding grief and loss. If you ever really want to take a look at how qualified she is, go back to Grassroots Talks and When Numbers Not Enough and check out her bio. My God, she's so bad, I thought she was talking about five or six different people. I mean, come on. So you're going to be in good hands. That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. And so without further ado, I just want to join our friends over in North Carolina in particular who just wanted to be able to say thank you to Dr. Clark for all that she has done. Dr. Clark, you need to know that one of your listeners has been feeling a little guilty because he comes on and he takes up time. Rome's not built in a day, and healing does not happen overnight. That's all I can say about that, and I'm sure you're listening to me. So let's just enjoy the gift of Dr. Clark and what she has to will help us move on with managing our grief and our loss. Dr. Clark, welcome, and sorry for the long introduction.
Good evening. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are joining us from. It is a pleasure to have you all the time. So we are back to continue the conversation about a topic that, yes, can get very heavy at times. But my goal and my desire is to not leave you broken and feeling stuck, not leave you sad with your head held down, but to provide you with some information and some experiences and some tools that hopefully can help you navigate through these stages of grief. And we have been, for the last few episodes, dealing with our children, our babies, our adolescents, and talking about whether or not grief and loss is something that they deal with. And if they deal with it, how do they navigate these things? Is it different from what we as adults would navigate? And what we have come across in the last couple of weeks since we've been having this conversation is that our babies definitely grieve, right? So our babies, we see it more through their attachment or their lack of attachment. Our school-age kids definitely grieve, right? And so the language that we use when we are having these conversations with our children and our babies, we know that it must be developmentally appropriate. And so as we move into our teenagers and our adolescents, we want to look at how do they understand grief and how do they understand loss and what processes do they go through. So we're looking at our age group from about 12 to 13 up to about 19 years of age, right? So what I have been talking about the last couple of weeks, looking at comparing our children who we know are in the child welfare system, right, who we just kind of take it for granted that they're just here because they've been abused, they've been neglected, there's been some homelessness, they've been removed from their homes, and they have some of these behaviors that get miscategorized and they get mislabeled as being just difficult children or, ooh, this kid is bad or this kid has behavior problems, but not taking into account that the first thing that has happened in the life of this child, this adolescent, this teenager, is that they have been removed. They have experienced a loss. They are no longer in the care of their primary caregiver. And with that comes some secondary behaviors and reactions that we see. So developmental-wise, this is a big time for physical and emotional changes that go back and forth anyway with our adolescents, whether they're in the child welfare system or not. This is the time where the brain is developing faster and they are starting to experience a whole lot of different things within their bodies that they're not even able to really understand. And so grief can have an impact on the developmental task of moving from dependence to independence, which is what this area of their lives is supposed to be all about. And when young people move from family ties to increasing reliance on their friends, it can be difficult trying to navigate this. And so we want to keep in mind that they may find the intensity of emotions overwhelming and not able to express what they are feeling. And they don't like to feel different. And a bereaved young teenager may feel socially isolated. They may want to look and feel as though they're coping while trying to really manage many difficult internal emotions and feelings that they are experiencing. And so to escape from this level of discomfort, some of them may start to have some of those high-risk behaviors that we often see. So some of those common reactions that they may start to experience is difficulty concentrating or being easily distracted. So that might mean that even in the home, you may give them a simple task to do. You may ask them to do a chore, and you notice that that chore is not getting done. In school, maybe they were doing well in school, and all of a sudden they're not doing well anymore. They may withdraw. They may be needing more personal space, so they're starting to isolate themselves, right? They may be taking on adult responsibilities and becoming the carer for those around them. So this you usually see in your teens that come into the home or they're in the home and they have younger siblings, so they might start to assume some of those parental roles. We see the acting out. We see that sometimes they may even try harder to please other people.
sometimes they may regress and start going back to some of the earlier behaviors that they would experience earlier on. You might see more sadness. They may move into some depression. They may even have some suicidal ideation. And what happens is that when we hear this set of behaviors, or we see this set of emotions, or we hear these set of symptoms, we automatically go to mental illness, right? We automatically go to depression, or they may be, you know, using drugs. And so assessment is always, always, always so important. And I tell my resource parents that you can have the same set of symptoms and you can have a different diagnosis. And so that's why it's so important that we know what it is that we're dealing with it at all times. And so if we actively know that we have a teenager that has experienced some type of loss, we want to kind of keep some of these things in mind. And so how do I support my teen? How do I support my adolescent if they have experienced a loss? Now, remember, this loss does not have to be a physical loss. We talk about loss in terms of it being solely physical for the most part. But remember, these children are experiencing the same types of losses that we experience, right? They're losing loss of relationships, friendships. They're losing what they know to be familiar, right? They have lost loved ones. They have lost even pets, right? They've lost things that have held meaning to them that sometimes we don't even understand what those things are. So we are not the only ones, adults, that have been impacted by various aspects and categories of loss. Our children, our adolescents have been as well. And so how do we support them? Well, the support looks very much the same as we would support anyone else going through loss. Sometimes we don't have to say a word. It just means be available and be there. Sometimes we think we always have to say something. We don't always have to verbalize our support. Sometimes it just means if you just sit over there in that chair and I know that you're in this space with me, then I can feel better. Then at least I know someone is there. So if I choose to have a conversation, then I know that someone is going to be there listening. So we want to include them and be honest about what's happening, right? But again, when we're having these conversations, we want to make sure that it is developmentally appropriate. Why is that important? Because I may have a 15 or 16 or 17-year-old chronologically, but developmentally they may be 10, they may be 9, they may be 8, and that is where I have to have the conversation with them. I must have it at that level of where they can be able to process that information. And we want to have that conversation together. I want to be able to listen to them and give them opportunities to ask me questions, and then I want to be able to give them a response. I don't want to force them to talk to me, because remember how everyone experiences this is an individual process. Same event that happened. The loss has been experienced by everyone, but how everyone experienced it is going to be their own individual journey. And so you must, as I always say, give yourself permission to feel what you need to feel at that time. With the younger children, we talked about keeping routines. It's important that our older children and our adolescents, our teens, keep a routine as well as much as possible, just as it's important for us as adults to keep a routine going to help us be able to process these. And then we also still want to offer praise and encouragement, right? So when we see that even through this challenging time and the difficulties that they are experiencing, that they're able to get something done, they're able to hit a mark or something, we want to give them recognition for that and make sure that they know that we're still paying attention to them and that we're there for them. And then we also want to know when we need to seek professional help for them as well. So if it looks like you're doing what you can do to support them, you have created a village around them, and it seems like nothing that you're doing is working, there's no harm in picking up the phone and reaching out and making some phone calls, because sometimes our teens and our children are just more comfortable talking to other people than they are talking to their own family members, right? And so what do they need? They need attention. They need the reassurance. It's not unusual for the grief to resurface. Remember, we talked about the stages don't happen in a linear fashion. You might find yourself vacillating back and forth. Our children, our adolescents, our teens are going to do the same thing. They may have here at the time where you take a deep breath and you take a sigh of relief and like, whew, okay, they're good. They look like they're over it. And then maybe a couple months down the line, something happens and triggers them again, just like we experience. So the experiences that we have, they don't differ much at all. They are more similar than they are different. And so those are the commonalities that loss and grief have with everyone. And you cannot pinpoint a one cookie cutter set of criteria that's going to let you know that that's what this person is going through at this time, that that's what this teen is going through. So it takes building relationships. It takes being familiar with your child and your teen. It takes making yourself available to them so that when they're not just experiencing grief or loss of some sort, but whenever they're having challenges and they're having struggles, that they know that you're there and that you are that shoulder for them to be able to cry on to help them navigate through this time in their life. Dr. Brown, you have any feedback?
Actually, I do, and it's going to center around a conversation that I had earlier in the week with a young person who had a relationship with their parent, and their parent left their mom, obviously, and it impacted the child. And there was a distance for over 20-plus years. Well, they both connected back to the father and the child, and they tried to mend things back, and they were getting along and everything. And then all of a sudden, that the experience of the grief kicked back in, and they stopped talking again. I have no idea what to tell them. I know they've just tuned in, and they're listening today here in L.A., so if you could share anything, this is for you, young fella.
So you were actually breaking up, going in and out. So let me see if I can try to summarize the pieces that I was able to hear from your conversation. So you had this conversation with someone who had experienced this loss from their parents?
Yes.
Okay, and it was years ago. They tried to come together to mend some things, and in the process of this mending, these moments of grief resurfaced, and now they're kind of on the outs again.
Yes.
Okay, and so they're wondering how they can get back together.
Or is it they have to just count their losses and go in different directions?
Well, it depends on what it is each of them want out of this relationship, right? Do they really want to have a relationship with each other, and have they really processed the loss for themselves, or have they tried to just do it as a pair? Because we can work together at something, but if we have not dealt with it individually, then what we've worked at together is not going to last. And then what happens is that when those triggers come of that event, we're going to have these catastrophic and these highly emotional responses to them, because we really have not gained the tools along the way to sustain us when these triggers come again. So when we allow ourselves the permission to really go through the process each step of the way for ourselves, we can't build anything with anybody else until we do with home, until we look at the man in the mirror. And that's one of the things that we talk about, that I walk people through in the grief and loss workshops, when I talk about, you know, writing that letter to that loved one, or looking at that, you know, looking at that person and having that conversation. We've got to have that conversation with that lost object as it relates. And we can't just have it with just that specific object right in front of us. We've got to have it with all those secondary things that come along with it, right? Because remember, the impact of grief is directly correlated to the relationship that you had with that lost figure. Every relationship that you had, so every label, so whether they were my mom, but they were my homegirl, or they were my best friend, and this was my, you know, my go get my car wash buddy, or this is my go to the movie buddy, or, you know, this is my go to church with everyday buddy. You've got to resolve the loss with each of those labels and figure out how do you develop the tools to recreate and reestablish the relationships with all those labels. Or am I strong enough to know that that label was that label for that time and space, and now that chapter is over and I move on? Because we know that the Bible says that there's a time and a season for everything. But we won't be able to get to those spaces and be able to know if that's what's going on if we have not really allowed ourselves the space to really process that. Once we're able to do that, then we can come back together as a whole and now be more supportive to that other component of that loss process that goes on. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a great deal of sense. I'm sure the young man who is listening at this point has a few more tools now. And for the rest of you folks, I just want to remind you that this Saturday we have an opportunity to experience something extremely unique, where Dr. Clark will be coming out to introduce himself and to our listeners. Maybe I'll answer a few questions for you. But sometimes it's good to build a professional relationship so that you can talk about some of the things that we are going to be a little bit uncomfortable with. So I was reminded by another one of our colleagues we're going to give out the numbers. So those of you, oh, no, you just have to know that she's going to be on, but she's going to be on at a different time. I believe her call time is going to be 11 a.m. And those of you on the Central Time and East Coast, make the adjustments, and she will be there. And if you want to meet her in person, definitely do come out. It's going to promise to be an inspiring afternoon. Now, if any of you have a question that you'd like to ask Dr. Clark here on the air before we sign off, you feel very free to do so. I'm going to close off the lines to not allow any others to come in for now, so do forgive me, folks, but for the ones who are on the line, feel free to ask your question to Dr. Clark.
Dr. Clark, I wish you well this coming weekend. And as a young lady, I hope you are very, very successful in your endeavors this coming Saturday. And as you put up with the old man known as Dr. Brown, excuse me, I hope you do well Saturday. I wish you well.
Thank you so much, my friend. I'm glad that you're joining us again this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
One thing that will be happening on Saturday, I will actually be raffling off 5 wellness vouchers that will entitle you to 1 complimentary consultation with me and 3 either grief and loss coaching sessions or wellness sessions. So I will be raffling off 5 of those to have the opportunity to sit with me and work out some things together. So I'm excited to be able to offer that.
Okay. I tell you, there's going to be some surprises. I believe that Dan Steps University for the field of trichology will also be there offering manicures, haircuts for some of the lucky winners as well. I don't think that me and my our counterpart on the East Coast will have to worry about that part, dulling some of her scissors. But nevertheless, it will be a great deal of fun. Folks, again, this show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy, where our primary focus is to get our veterans off of the street and into training programs, vocational trainings, where they can learn some more marketable skills and then give them some work experience. But it don't stop there, because those same veterans who understand and appreciate discipline will also become mentors to work with our former foster care youth who have been emancipated, ready or not, just because of an age. And we know that a number does not define your level of maturity. But our kids are winding up on the street if they're lucky. If they're not lucky, they're in jail or dead. I know that sounds morbid, but my gosh, too many kids are winding up out there, and we can do something about it. So join us. Come out. As you can see, it's going to be a lot of other vendors as well that you'll have an opportunity to meet a few city officials, but we look forward to seeing you there. Dr. Clark, can you go ahead and take it home now?
Absolutely. So before we close, as I always like to do, let's take a deep breath in. Let's let it out. Let's do a couple more of those. Take it in and let it out. And let's do one more. As I give you the words again of my favorite guy, Dr. Alan Wolfick, as he says in The Journey Through Grief, Reflections on Healing, as we meditate on these words, the head, the heart, and the soul must all come to embrace the reality of the death. It is the soul that gives life to the head and the heart. I may know the reality of the death in my head, but I must also let it sift down into my heart and my soul. And this is between me and my God. Until next time, give yourself permission and give yourself the grace to grieve. Until next time. Hope to see you Saturday. Have a good evening. Good night.
And thank you, especially the moms, the wives, and the children who have managed to deal with such troubling times. Good night to all.